May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 981. Why should I yield to slavish fears? God is the same to endless years. Though clouds and darkness hide his face, he's boundless both in truth and grace. Hymn 981.
Thank you. Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 13, reading the first 30 verses. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, and choked them. The other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen.
Hymn 140. When overwhelmed with grief, my heart within me dies, helpless and far from all relief, to heaven I lift my eyes. Hymn 140.
most holy and gracious Lord, to grant to us now the very spirit of grace and supplications, and help us at the throne of grace. Lord, we seek to plead by thy help that worthy name, and pray, Lord, that thou look down upon us and grant to us an evening blessing when Jesus himself may draw near and go with us. But Lord, we would acknowledge that our sin and unbelief, Lord, we feel afflicted by it and mourn over it. Lord, we are far from what we would be. And we pray, Lord, that nevertheless we'd be enabled, O Lord, to say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Lord, to grant that thou open the book. Thou, Lord, wilt grant a little application and truth to reach our hearts, Lord, and grant deliverances for Jacob. Lord, we pray that thy blessed Spirit, appointed and sent and made known, may come as that sacred wind that blows upon these bones so dry and dead, thy sweetest, softest influence shed. Lord, we seek that we may know the wind in that sweet way, knowing not whether it cometh or goeth, but Lord, may we know that sweet moving of our hearts and bring us up, Lord, from the depths. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember us a little company, and pray that with us thou wilt be. Lord, remember those unable to be here, and we pray for thy healing, restoring touch, thy gracious help. Remember each one. Grant, O Lord, that thy gracious help, and do grant thy healing mercies in Jesus' name. We pray for those that mourn, and seek, Lord, that thou, blessed Spirit, will grant the Comforter. The Comforter may grant that sweet moving of the hearts in much help to say it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good, or easy to say, that grant, O Lord, that grace divine. We pray, Lord, that thou art also remember the young. Again we pray for them. We bring them unto Jesus. How we seek, Lord, that thou art bless them each one. And Lord, we pray there may be a seed to serve thee. Oh, we pray that thou wilt remember those, Lord, in special trouble, or in the burdens of the way, or the concerns of their souls, or any, Lord, that may perhaps need a word in season. Remember any, Lord, that are much at thy feet, if so be there may be hope. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember the older friends, how our heart goes up to thee. Lord, that thou wilt bless those that are well advanced. And Lord, we know not which one shall be next among us, but the old must die and the young may. But we pray that thou wilt grant, Lord, that blessing of God and much knowledge of the Lord Jesus. May there be some tokens, Lord, of thy gracious help and blessing. They shall, we read, bring forth fruit in old age. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and Help us, Lord, to pray for thy blessing upon young and old, over this house of prayer. And grant, O Lord, thy blessing to rest upon thy word, with signs following. And we pray, Lord, that thou would remember the deacons, and grant, O Lord, that help of God. And we pray for thy labouring servants. And now, Lord, do help us to pray once more for our nation. Have mercy. And grant, O Lord, that thou wilt spare us. And Lord, for the churches, for thy mercy's sake, that Lord, remember us still. We pray for the nations of the earth, and we seek that thy kingdom may come. But, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us this evening. O Lord, do we not need thy gracious help? That, Lord, that blessing of the Lord, that we may be able to know, Lord, a little sweet going forth unto him without the camp. Lord, that knowledge and that going out in love. Oh, we pray that we may be moved, and that thou, Lord, wilt draw us to. And grant we may be amongst those that are going forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and remember us. We would be at thy feet. We would be, Lord, low at the border of the garments. We would be, Lord, where thou dost bless the poor. We would be amongst those, Lord, that have no confidence in the flesh. We would be amongst those that are poor and needy, and yet can sweetly say the Lord is mindful of us. And grant, O Lord, that there may be that liberty in hearing and in speaking. And grant, O Lord, that help to bless as we ought. Lord, we acknowledge, we desire to thank thee for each returning need, but we need that springing up in our hearts of that gratitude. Oh, in the light of our sins and unworthiness, there may be worship. Lord, help me. Lord, there may be that going forth unto him. And we may be amongst those that are able to go on their way rejoicing. We want real things. Lord, do come. We pray for each cause represented. We pray, Lord, that thou help us as we plead that worthy name. And Lord, may the spices flow out. And may there be some vital knowledge of our sin and unworthiness, and then a knowledge of the Saviour. We need things applied. We need thee, Lord, to come. We need thee, Lord, to be in the midst. Grant Calvary's peace. Lord, little sweet settling by the cross of Calvary. Lord, that sacred place. And Lord, may we know that renewing in our hearts of faith and hope and love. And do be mindful of us, Lord, and leave us not, that we are unworthy. And Lord, we have nothing at all. But may we know, Lord, that help of God, thy mercy to us, thy grace to be known. And may we know a little renewing. Lord, do come, we pray. May, though our service may be short, may it be sweet. Remember us again in the singing of thy worthy praises. Lord, may we know thy gracious help. Grant believing hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1038. Sinners in their deep affliction sigh and groan beneath their load, long to read their own election, and with pleasure say, "My God." Trembling, fearing, hoping still in Jesus' blood. Hymn 1038.
So Lord, may help me, I will turn with you to the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. We will read from verse 7 to verse 10. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, is meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiving blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. And our text is taken in the 9th and 10th verses. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. I feel directed to speak just a few things from these words. We read in this epistle, in this chapter, the apostle very faithfully speaking to the Hebrews by way of exhortation, and solemnly speaking of the vital need of that true blessing of God. He speaks thus, it may be a searching word, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. But really, the apostle, in speaking and setting forth the truth, desires to speak of the necessity of that vital knowledge, communion and blessing of the Lord. He speaks in these words, which are very similar to the words of the Lord Jesus in the parables. We read in that parable the Lord Jesus spake, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Again we read of those that receive the seed into stony places. None with joy receive the word, they have no root. Again we read the solemn words in the parable, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That he reads of that seed sown into good ground. It's he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30, but bearing fruit. So we come to a very solemn part of God's word. And it may be that there are those that are exceedingly fearful that they are indeed found out has been amongst those that are left, is how deep these things enter into the heart. What wrestling, as we spoke this morning. What need for the Lord to appear? What need for the Lord to grant a solid rest, a resting place, to take up the stumbling blocks, to grant that deliverance, to grant that renewing. Friends, that is where we come. It is of the Lord to open hearts to receive the word, however searching, however trying, however discriminating. And the heart is brought to the words in the hymn, or the words of Scripture, "Leave not my soul destitute." Or in the hymn, "Give me Christ, or else I die." Well, that's where the life is. That's where there is some evidence of the blade. Not much. The blade springing up. My friends, there is the life that God imparts. But not without the searching of God's word and the truth of the words to bring us the more closely upon the mercy of God by the Lord's help. Friends, here is a life in that little seed that God is pleased to sow. You know, it's a good ground, friends. Where shall we find good ground? But in God's mercy. Really, in doctrine I stand upon this, the only ground that is good is that ground which is of Christ, and first to last. Oh, it is that mercy of God to ever begin in our poor hearts, to ever grant that life divine. Even that seed, so small, must die and yet live. So I want to come. There seems to be some leading to the solemn truth in God's word. And it's how we receive it. Is there a trembling, a need for the Lord to make it known deliverance, or that confirmation? These things belong in hearts that live. Those that the Lord has met with. My thought of the hymn to take up my thoughts. We read, "I know my sheep," he cries, "my soul approves them well. Vain is the treacherous world's disguise, vain the rage of hell. I freely feed them now with tokens." That's what we need. Tokens. Show me a token, Lord, for good. With tokens of my love. Like richer pastures I prepare and sweeter streams above. There is then, in hearing the word of God, the bringing to the searching truth of it. And we believe that is according to the work of God's Spirit to plough up and to make small that furrowing, or that great work of the preparation of the Lord. Surely that ground that we have read of, where the seed grows, is according to the heavenly sower, We read in the psalm, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." Think of Christ as that sower, that friends, he sows in good ground, doesn't he? Not ground for man to respond to, if he will. He makes the ground, doesn't he? Commissions, appoints. He's not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Sometimes the Lord sends a law. To bring us very much under a knowledge of our sin. That's what the Lord does. Magnifies the offence. There is in the hearing of God's word sometimes a hearing of God's holy law, and it's received in an honest heart. Lord, what will become of me? Am I one of those that shall be lost? And in this chapter, the apostle touches upon this vital truth to consider. The earth which drinketh in the rain bringeth forth herbs, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Same gospel heard, same truths, but friends, it's what's planted, isn't it? It's what may enter and what God may prosper. That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Now I want to be exceedingly clear that we read in that parable of that good ground, or even in that first part of the parable, when heareth the word, anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not? Well, friends, it's the witness the Blessed Spirit gives in the heart. It's an understanding. It is the Lord. Woe is me, for I'm undone. The Lord is righteous. I am indeed in the need of God's mercy. God is just. The hymn writer speaks of it in a very solemn way. If my soul were sent to hell, the righteous Lord proves it well. Do you know the matter in our text is one of encouragement, one of setting forth the more conspicuously God's mercy. The more the Lord may cut down, the more he will build up. The more we may have to lose, the more we shall gain, I speak spiritually. The more the Lord deals with us, the more we shall be at Jesus' feet. The more we are acquainted with our own hearts, the more we'll need that good physician. The more we tremble at God's word, the more we shall want the gospel. The truth of it, if so be, there may be hope. But, beloved, that is how the apostle writes to the Hebrews. But, beloved, I want to speak, the Lord may help me, in another way. We think of the beloved, the bride of Christ, loved of God, ere time began. But, beloved, those that know something of that, that love of God, now many profess to know the love of God, as much spoken of it, but you know, there are few things that qualify that knowledge of the love of God. I want to come little closer. But beloved, or does it not bring us perhaps from the depths to consider him? Does it bring us to that part of the Word of God where we read so much of the Beloved? My Beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Does it not quicken, I hope, some little desire the Lord may yet appear? But beloved, well friends, that is how we believe we must speak a few things from the Word here. Is not love the moving cause of salvation? Is it not that vital doctrine of that love? I thought of that part of the Word in Corinthians. I just turned it down. In the 13th chapter, the 1st of Corinthians. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face. Now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. And the greatest of these is charity. It's that love indeed, isn't it? I want to speak as God may guide me. But beloved, that is how the Lord God, holy and righteous, can look upon the poor sinner at Jesus' feet. Beloved, again I bring you to that truth. It is the truth as it is in Jesus. Loved of God ere time began, I choose him in return. But beloved, we may not be able to get so very high, but let us come to it, friends. Was it not love that turned our feet to Zion's hill? Was not that love immense that ever should bring us to consider our ways? Or can you trace the love of God, friends, in your life or your call by grace? Does it begin with an understanding in the head, or the love of God put forth? Almighty grace, it arrests that man, and there's love in it. The shepherd's voice, there's love in that voice, isn't there? There is in God's dealings that love to sinners. Now let me put it like this, friends. It's that forbearing love when we walk opposite. And when we said we'll not have this man to reign over us. It's love, isn't it, that's brought us hitherto. We may not be able to say that we can feel it, but let us trace the doctrine of it. Let us come to the point of it. But is it not of God's love that ever he preserved us? In nature's unregeneracy. But, or was it something to do with our goodness inherent, or some good the Lord would see in us? No, friends. It's in the river of God's love. You know, that river flows from eternity. And none of God's purposes miscarry. The river flows and the streams make glad the city of God. Oh, it is love, isn't it? We recently buried a dear friend, and she gave a sweet witness that it was love. She loved the Book of Ruth. She said it was love. In fact, my heart could go with her. It's love, isn't it, that takes their cause in hand. It's love that appoints a redeemer. A fullness that resides in Jesus our head. It is love divine. And friends, we do need that gracious help of God to trace all things. That first prayer, that first desire, that quickening of God's grace, it all stems from the love of God. Now we may not be able to see it, but let us come to the doctrine of it. If it weren't love, it must be of merit. It's all of his love from first to last, isn't it? Some may say, well, we're not getting far this evening. I cannot feel that love. I do not seem to be able to. Be able to come in anywhere. Well, friends, perhaps we need to be brought very much upon that right ground, seeking that God may grant us his love shed abroad in our hearts. There's a beautiful word in Thessalonians. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. That's a good word. The Lord direct your heart into the love of God. Direct to divine. Well, now I want to come a little further. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Things that accompany salvation. Well, we've just touched upon that vital doctrine of God's love, but those things that accompany salvation. Let me speak. The Lord may guide my heart, my thoughts. Things that accompany salvation. There is then a call by grace divine, isn't it? I know my sheep. The Lord calls them effectually. Not one friend shall be lost. It's the call, isn't it? Election is known by calling, and calling by election. That call, how gentle sometimes it is, isn't it? Oh, there is a call of God that reaches the heart. And there is that call by grace divine. Oh, how effectual it is, isn't it? I want to speak of the effectual nature of that grace. You know, it's in this, isn't it? The Lord calls, and it's done. There is a sweet understanding when God calls. An understanding of our need. Dear Isaiah, the prophet said, woe is me. That's what he understood. Woe is me that I am undone. There are many characters called by God's grace that knew that woe in their heart and brought to a very solemn place. I want to take up a difficult case, one that feels, well, I haven't got that conviction that others have. I haven't got the depth that others seem to have. I'm left out. I feel to be left out. My ignorance bears a solemn testimony. Well, these things that accompany salvation are bringing to the mercy seat. Have you had to tell him all about your ignorance? That I know not, teach thou me. Have you had to pour out your heart? Oh, the need you have for the Lord to put you among his people, that the most unworthy, the most the most undone, And friends, it comes a little closer, doesn't it? Things that accompany salvation. Call by grace and knowledge of sin. For a need of Christ. For a need for the Lord to begin. There's a sweet hymn about it. If thou hast not begun before, if I have not known before, help me to begin today. That's about the love, isn't it? Now, can you come in there? The least. I am not worthy of the least, we read this morning. The mercies and the truth. Can you come here, in upon that ground? Oh, it'd be a wonder. I think it was dear Mr. Pack, or Mr. Pack Senior, that used to love to speak or recite or repeat that hymn. Be a wonder, a pleasing wonder. To be amongst one of those that are called by grace. Well, I come a little further. Because where does it leave us? Does it leave us going back to the world and able to resume that earthly course, whatever it is? No, you have to wend your way to God's house. Things that accompany salvation, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Perhaps an aching void this world can never fill. A need that God has created, and that's a great need. And friends, are you a stranger to the throne of grace? You have to go to Him and seek to pour out your heart before Him. Read, God is a refuge for us. Selah. There are those that feel to be lame like Mephibosheth. Oh, so poor and needy. And there's that self-examination. That I seem to have more need than all. But no fruit. My friends, let us come to the word here. Things that accompany salvation. The going out in desire. Perhaps under the word or the hymn. Or the time when you might be perhaps alone. And the Lord draws near. Jesus himself drew near. I do love that part. And went with them. But just what they needed, wasn't it? One to come, so mighty to save. Things that accompany salvation. A soft heart. Well, God grants it. Dear Job said, God maketh my heart soft. And friends, is there a softening where there was a hardness? Is there a need the Lord to grant? Increase of his grace. Things that accompany salvation. Then I must hasten. The word before us is spoken of by way of sweet encouragement. We are persuaded better things of you. We read in that solemn part of the scripture. We haven't I think not read from it, but a little further we read another parable. He spoke, the man which sowed good seed in his field, and while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. When the blade, that little blade was sprung up, oh, it is a very searching part of God's word, isn't it? And brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also, just next to the seed that was springing up. identical, absolutely undiscernible. But friends, very solemn part, isn't it? But no fruit. Things that accompany salvation, that lowliness of mind and heart. When there is that fruit, I do wish I knew more of it. There's a sweet hymn, isn't there? What we sing of humility and love. That confession of a wilderness. And that need of that grace of God to grant that sweet humility and love. It's a beautiful hymn. And then there are a few other things I want to touch upon very briefly. And that is this. Friends, perhaps we look at it in two ways. The law that drives, but the grace that draws. A fleeing for refuge. But it needs the Lord, doesn't it? To grant that help to fly. And grace to run. But then there's that drawing. We've spoken a little of the love of God. That's what it does. It draws the sinner that flees unto that refuge. And brings them by a way that they know not. And there's that love, friends. It meets that heart that is renewed. It's a sweet drawing. The well-known part of God's word, we read of it. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Well, friends, it speaks, doesn't it, of that drawing, that moving, quickening and bringing. Oh, from the ways of sin and ruin, but there's something more. And that's our hearts. And from the dominion of that terrible nature of sin. And if God does not straighten us out, friends, we never will be. Oh, there is that humbling of proud nature. I was thinking very, I don't know how it was, but many, many years ago there was a brother that came over the other side of the earth, I believe, outside the world to find his brother, and he met him on the bus or some place, but he's so much pride in his heart, he wouldn't make himself known. There was some problem, fancy, in pride, and the root of it is it kept him from making acquaintance. Solemn nature. That dreadful spirit, the pride of enmity and hatred. Friends, God will break that up. Oh, how needful it is to speak of a real work. And friends, it will be the fruits that prove it. I want to hasten. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Things that accompany the salvation, though we thus speak. And in this faith, isn't there? Oh, it needs the Lord to grant that faith divine. It's a beautiful grace. You know, it's simply, friends, I need it to help me to believe in God. Come know what I mean? Oh, that heart full of infidelity. Labour under it, do you? Feel it to be a dreadful plague. You need God to help you to believe. The expression of the world is, do you believe in God? And friends, we have to say, oh, do grant us that living faith. To believe in God. I hope it's not too simple. But friends, the heart that lives feels the need of the Lord to grant them a believing heart. Perhaps some of you labour in much need of the Lord to grant you a believing heart. Lord, I cannot, Lord, relieve. My help has come from thee. I want to hasten. Then there's hope, isn't there? Oh, how that is spoken of in this very chapter, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, and it's anchored upwards, cast within the veil. That's where it enters, sure and steadfast. Not in old nature, is it? But in the very person, the Lord Jesus, which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, it speaks of hope that is cast upward. You know, and that's one of those things that accompany salvation. There's a certain stability God gives. Not blown about by every wind of doctrine. But there is that establishing, strengthening and settling. And the winds may blow, and temptations and sorrows, but there is that anchor cast within the veil. And we need the Lord to grant us that hope, don't we? Jesus is the God of hope. Then I want to hasten a few things. We read in this last part a very sweet word. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I want to speak a few things. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love. Well, we must speak of it rightly, friends. This is preeminently the work of faith. And then there are the fruits of it. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love. Now, is it not a sweet mercy that ever the Lord should give us a love to God and his word, his house and his ways. And then there are those hearts that are joined together. Those hearts that are brought to love. That's going to say the things that God loves. And then there are those practical applications. You know, friends, this is the great testing of it. This is the continuing. This is the proof of it. Where God grants his love, there'll be love that endures. Friends, it's a vital consideration. It cannot from its post withdraw the love of Christ. And then there's the imparting of the fruit of it, of that love. Let me speak of it like this. You know, it moves the heart naturally, doesn't it? How much more spiritually? Those that seem to be in the depths. Oh, friends, is there at times a sweet going out unto him? And where does it bring you? To his house, perhaps? Things practical? Or things which belong to the worship of God? And there is something else in the, it is love in all its fruitfulness. Now, that's a continuing. Let us look at it very clearly. Without it, the root of it, the truth of it, there is love today and gone tomorrow. But oh, you know, God binds the hearts of his people to his cause, the gospel. There's a certain sound of it. To the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and that love which the Lord is pleased to grant. Where does it direct us? Why, it directs us heavenwards. And that longing perhaps at times, and the fullness of that love or the blessing of it to be able to say, "Hinder me not, you much love saints, for I must go with you." It's love, isn't it? And then there is that love which embraces the doctrines, the truth of it. And there is a vital establishing upon the gospel which discriminates unto salvation. And Christ is precious. Now there's something else. God saves by his precious blood. We read of it in the word here. Things that accompany salvation. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You know that cleanses away those dreadful sins, immense as is the sea. The sweet drawing from the ways and dominion of sin, the love of sin, when there is that sacred love that fills the heart. And it is brought to that vital point, isn't it? That it is the blood. We read of it in the scripture. This is blood. Deliverance. Redemption. And friends, the matter is this, you know, it affects the life. It touches the heart and the truth reaches so greatly into the life and soul. Now it's when it's applied, isn't it? When the Lord grants a token and the love of God is in it. Or perhaps let me speak very quickly. You know, a blessing as sweetly is known now. It is tracing. It is all to be seen according to the fullness of that truth that the last hymn bears me out. How sweet that hymn. What mighty sum paid all my debt when I a bondman stood. And has my soul at freedom set, 'tis Jesus, precious blood, what stream is that which sweeps away my sins just like a flood, nor lets one guilty blemish stay, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. Lastly, minister to the saints and minister. Perhaps it is a very practical consideration, friends, these saints of God that have weathered, that continue, that those whose hearts are set for the defence of the gospel, those friends that walk that narrow way and that the Lord keeps them in afflictions and troubles, uses them, and they're brought so low, friends, and they've got fruit, the bounty. And it's this, isn't it? They take that place which is lower. They're able to take up the yoke. They continue. They weather the storm. They're given that fruit of repentance. And their hearts sometimes are sweetly touched. And they sweetly know what it is to know that love of God which passeth knowledge. May the Lord grant some sweet encouragement. There be something that will remain. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and a minister. Let's leave a few things. We failed to just touched upon a few things. Now may there be a knowledge further in his sweet word, the things that accompany salvation. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £900, for which we are very thankful. These collections were for the Fizzy Orphanage of the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. God willing, Mr. Robert Field will address the prayer meeting tomorrow evening and preach for us on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 83. How oft have sin and Satan strove to rend my soul from thee, my God, but everlasting is thy love, and Jesus seals it with his blood. Hymn 83.
Thank you.
Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes must have seen amiss. We pray, Lord, that thou be round about the dear friends here and keep them as the apple of thine eye. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.